When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two balls, two strikes, two down with the bases loaded. Chapman, he is ready. He throws. Fastball, swung on and missed. He got him. Chapman leaves the bases loaded. And the Red Sox win game one, 3-1 in the Bronx.
Well, these are your three guys you went out and got for games like this. Not only are they going to get you here, they're going to get you through games in the postseason. Bregman coming up with a big one. Crochet just doing what he does. That was unbelievable. And then a four-out save and facing the top of this dangerous Yankee lineup. Bases loaded, no outs, and getting through it.
Took game one here at Yankee Stadium. That is a beautiful thing.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Will Fleming last night with the call of game one. Back on the call tonight, game two, first pitch 6:08. Pre-game coverage beginning just after 5 o'clock here on your home for the Red Sox, WEEI. And hopefully you can listen to Will all postseason long. He joins us here on Jones and Keith. Will Fleming, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, my pleasure. I hope it's a long ride, too. How are you guys?
Great.
Oh, we're doing well after last night.
Holy
yeah.
smokes, what a night.
Oh, baby. I don't think I fell asleep till about 3 a.m., so hopefully you're a little more rested than I am.
Yeah, well, we're nice and rested. I feel like it was early,
the early
game
start time
last
helped
night.
In that regard.
Yeah, no, it sure did. Yeah. We saw vintage Garrett Crochet, one of the best singular postseason performances from a Red Sox pitcher, depending on how you you slice that one down. What did he give the Red Sox last night? What did you think of the decision to stick with him, and how far can he take him?
Wow. I'll get into the first part first. I from the beginning of things, you felt like they were going to need to ride him, right? I mean, the roadmap to winning this series was, without Giolito, with uncertainty after even Connolly early, they needed a long one from Crochet, and he gave them that. But he gave them more than that, too, right? I mean, Volpe hits the home run, and then he sends down 16 in a row. You said it about singular performance in Red Sox history, and I think it certainly was that, right? I mean, 11 strikeouts, he was just awesome. But I think, as you guys know, so much about sports and so much about the all-time legends, and I'm not trying to get ahead of things here, but you see these markers of guys early in their time. And I thought for sure that was one of those for Crochet last night. Like, to come into this environment, this lion's den, and he just all day, I was around him, you know, I saw him at about 1 o'clock in the hotel, and he looked like he wanted to kill somebody. And then you see him at 4 o'clock, and he looks like it's no big deal. I'm about to go out there and do what I've done all year long. And sure enough, I mean, you guys saw the look in his eyes on the mound. Like, to me, that's the other part of this thing, right? It's not that he did it one time. It's that he looks like a guy who can do it 100 times. And I just thought to do it in the way that he did it in Yankee Stadium, to shut those fans up, to do what he did in the biggest moments, to respond the way that he did, he can take them as far as any pitcher in baseball can take any team. Now, what happens, you know, in a 5-game and in a 7-game series, that's a conversation we can have a little bit later. But, you know, I mean, Scooble's awesome, right? But I think they're 1 and 1A. And I think if you asked every general manager in the sport who they'd like to have, Those would be the two guys everybody would choose. So it is phenomenal that the Red Sox have one. And, the word ace is thrown around, I think, a little too loosely in baseball. This dude checks every meaning of that word, which is when you need a stopper to end a losing streak, he's going to do it. And my God, what a huge performance that was last night in a must-win playoff environment. He was everything you could want.
Yeah, I think he's been the best starter in baseball all season. I also think Chapman's been the best closer in baseball all season. But I'm curious where you come down on the outside of just three outs to get for Chapman, because I think for one inning, he's the best in baseball. But I don't know if I feel the same way, maybe just because we haven't seen it, where like Keith Falk would get you six outs and, you know, Koji Uehara would certainly get you six outs. What do you think about the usage of Chapman right away going with him in the eighth inning?
Well, it's not Kimbrel, where if you asked him to get more than three outs or you brought him in the eighth inning, it was going to be nine runs earned.
True,
so,
true.
But this is a different thing. You know, I love that they did it last night, and here's why, guys. I know that it's not his normal routine, and maybe it showed some signs of that in the ninth inning. Although, the cool thing about him is it doesn't matter, right? Like, you can load the bases, and he'll still get out of it like he did last night. He worked around a leadoff double the other night when they clinched on the Sedan swing. The reason I loved it last night is Ben Rice is a badass. And one of the subscript of this entire series is that Alex Cora is a better manager than Aaron Boone is. And Aaron Boone has done a nice job here in New York, and he deals with so much pressure, and their roster is flawed. But in a big spot, in a playoff series, Cora is awesome. And he knows that if he can get through a game without Ben Rice being a part of it, well, that's a huge win for them. And with Caballero on deck, if you get Whitlock on the mound, then Rice is going to come on. And I think the Whitlock piece of things is interesting on two levels, right? Number one, you want Whitlock fresh for tonight and tomorrow because you might need him both nights. You can't use both those guys three nights in a row. They would, but I think they prefer not to. But most of all, you wanted to keep Rice on the bench because they're not going to pinch hit for the top three guys in their order. They're just not going to do that with Ben Rice. He's killed the Red Sox, Rice, all year long. I thought it was very smart to keep him out of the game. So I liked it in that spot. I understand what you're saying, that it's a little different for Chapman, but that was the reason to make that move, and I loved it.
What do you think the availability is tonight for a guy like Chapman? Do they go back to him normal? Do they try to steer clear from him because they didn't use Whitlock last night? I mean, everybody else is available because Chapman's the only guy to go. What do you think his level of availability is tonight?
A little bit of both, Adam. I would say that he's available, definitely. And if it's a one-run game, he's going to pitch. I mean, the Red Sox, that's the other thing about Cora in these spots. And it's what Bruce Bochy does. It's what all these guys, the great postseason manager, understands. I'm worried about today, and I'll get to tomorrow. Right? Like, if Alex Cora, swear to God, if he needed to go to Connolly early tonight to win a game and end the Yankees season, he might well do it. I mean, that's just the mentality. But they'd like to stay away from him if they can because, you know, they got bigger aspirations. They'd like to keep him fresh for Toronto and maybe even Seattle and beyond. But the answer to your question is he's up, he's available, and they'll go to him if they need to. That's just the nature of the beast this time of year. So he's ready to go, and I wouldn't put anything past him.
Another lefty on the mound tonight for the Yankees. Do you trot out the same starting lineup for the Red Sox, or do you make a tweak?
I think they do it again. I really do, which is interesting, right? I mean, who would have ever had on their playoff bingo card that Nick Sogard and Nate Eaton are starting a game at Yankee Stadium? And by the way, both of them were great and had, you know, big roles to play in the game as they have all week. I think they'll do it again. It's amazing that this team right now, their best lineup in a lot of ways is against left-handers. And let's be clear, guys, Rodon is not Max Fried. I mean, he can be really good, and he's got some electric stuff, but the Red Sox, I think he's got like an ERA north of 5 against Boston this year and in his career. So he'll make mistakes, Rodon. I thought Fried was phenomenal last night. Again, that's what made what Crochet did so special because Fried was up for it. And they were going back and forth with each other. The one thing that interests me, Alex Cora sort of hinted at this last night, is that he might stick with Narvaez in there, even though Connor Wong has kind of been Deo's like primary best buddy catcher. So that would interest me. I think usually when Alex tips his hand like that, he is going to make a move like that and he just gets ahead of it a little bit. So I would expect maybe Narvaez stays in there, but that would be the one thing I could maybe foresee that could be a little bit different, that Wong could start. But otherwise, why not? Why not ride with Ref Snyder? I think Romy is something to watch, by the way, guys. That's another one. Like, the decision to stick with Sogard when he gets that big hit, at the time we're going, oh, my God, that is like managerial pixie dust. Alex Cora, what a smart move. And that he's done plenty of that to earn that kind of praise. I think the reason he did that last night, which is pretty clear, is that something's going on with Romy Gonzalez. And that's why he stuck with a Sogard in that spot so that he could use Low for Romy a little bit later. And almost it paid off in a big way with Low hitting that ball to Judge in, right? So that's one to watch too. But yeah, I think that it's going to be a very similar lineup tonight.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major... That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's interesting because I didn't pick up on the Romy situation, despite what we know he's been dealing with down the stretch. Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox, joining us here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. You gave us the Rodon numbers. He's 1-2 this year, ERA approaching 6 against the Red Sox, 10 walks in over 15 innings. The one guy he does have success against, and maybe they're running out of bodies if a guy like Romy they got to go away from tonight. Durant has not hit him at all. Durant is 0-for his life against Max Fried tonight. You expect, it sounds like, Duran back in there. Is that the right call?
I think so, only because of the way the roster is. Like, if Roman Anthony or anybody else were available, I think this would be a game you give Duran off, at least to start. But I think they'll ride with him. They've just had too many guys fall a little bit here. And, I wouldn't put any money on Duran, against Rodon necessarily. But I think the defense matters. I mean, is it possible that he would go with somebody like Yoshida, right, to try to find a little magic? I guess so. But I think, again, in these playoff spots, he likes to have the options late in games. Like, I think the great manager thinks about having a bullet in the chamber for late in games to pick the right matchup against somebody like Weaver or Duvall or Bednar or Devin Williams with Yoshida. And then the game-long defense of Duran in left field. It might not always be conventional. He makes me nervous so often when he's out there in left field, but he does tend to end up making plays that Yoshida would not. So I think in a pressurized environment like this, they'll probably ride the defense of Duran, but you're right. I mean, he has not had success against Rodon. You don't feel that comfortable with him against the lefty.
Brian Baio making his postseason debut tonight, and certainly with Giolito going down and the uncertainty of what game three, and if we really advance in the playoffs, a game three or game four starter might even look like, Brian Baio's importance has kind of really shot towards the top as well, and coming off clearly his best regular season that he's ever had.
Yeah, no doubt. Isn't that the truth, right? I mean, now the Red Sox are going into tonight and tomorrow and any series to follow with basically two starters. I mean, we can all talk about how Connelly early looks good, and he does, but it's thin after him, and I don't know who's up next. I don't know what healthy bodies are available after Connelly to take the ball and make starts, but this is an enormous spot for Baio, and you guys I know are aware of his success this year against the Yankees and in this ballpark, but it's not been very good the last month. And so this is kind of a swing start for Baio. Does does the progress that he made this year, does the maturity that he showed, is that on display tonight? Because it will need to be. I mean, the thing that has been frustrating about him for a couple of years now went away for the most part this year, and that is that he just lets things get to him. And it, whether it's an error or a walk or even a double with a big lead, he tends to pinch and nibble and walk guys, and what should be a one-run game becomes a three- or four-run game. And against this team in this ballpark, with all that's on the line tonight, that cannot happen. And so Alex Cora is going to watch him closely. I expect him to really have a bounce back and to pitch very well. There's something about this lineup, this matchup, Judge and Stanton and all these right-handed sluggers. He just pounds them with sinkers. He sees the pinstripes and he pitches very well. But again, I can promise you that if he's not good, he's out of the game. I mean, the Red Sox are not going to mess around tonight. If it's the third or fourth inning and Bayo's walking guys and has that look where he's frustrated and, you know, huffing and puffing on the mound, Cora's coming out and Bayo will be taken out of the game. So I think that's definitely an enormous sort of sidebar. No, it's not a sidebar. It's one of the huge plot lines of tonight.
Well, you mentioned Bayo has been great against the Yankees this year, ERA below two, but his September ERA, yeah, and that includes a rough start at Fenway against the Yankees, is about 5.5. So we'll watch that tonight. I know all of New York is watching Aaron Boone. You're there. Do you think if the Red Sox eliminate them tonight, tomorrow, do you think he's gone?
Oh, man. You know, I've thought that for a few years, and I'm not totally sure, because it sure seems that they as an organization, an ownership group with the Steinbrenners and Brian Cashman, have decided that he's the guy for this place and this job. And I think there are reasons to think that. It is a different animal here. There's so much pressure. But there are a lot of markets that are tough and hard. And if he loses to Alex Cora with the better roster and the deeper team at home in a wild card series, I think given the way this season has gone, the pressure would ratchet up big time. Again, I think with a lot of other owners, Adam, he would be out. Like, I think, and certainly if George had been here,
right, yeah,
he would have been gone 3 years ago. I mean, he wouldn't be in the dugout tonight. And it puts all of us in a weird spot, because he is a wonderful guy. I think Aaron has done a really nice job here in New York, and he's a friend of all of ours. But I do think, and you do wonder, if they fall again in the postseason, whether the Yankees have got to make a very tough choice. Because, you know, you watch this, you saw Jazz Chisholm last night, right? And the back to the media, yeah, they're asking him why he didn't start the game. Do you think that would ever, ever, ever happen with an Alex Cora managed player? No. I mean, it's
Devers.
About communication. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah, but
starting
he's gone,
now,
right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's true. He's gone. So, yeah, starting out this group, no. I wouldn't see it.
Yeah, on this roster. So, the thing, too, is, guys, listen, players win games, and they're to be held accountable in these big spots. They just are. Yeah. But that doesn't excuse all of the base running stuff and all the bad defense and all of the lack of accountability. Like, Aaron Boone might be the greatest behind closed doors manager in the history of the sport. And he might be holding guys to the fire to say, we got to be better. And I've heard in some circles that he does that. But do you guys think that shows out on the field? I don't.
No,
I mean,
No.
The crazy thing is they're the worst good team I've ever watched, really. Like,
yeah.
they didn't do it last night, but over and over again all year long, I couldn't believe the stupid things this team did. Now, that might get clipped. It might go all over the place. But people in New York know that. They watch this team every day. Like, they do things. They didn't last night quite as much, but I wouldn't put it past them in the next night or two to make a bad defensive play, to do things that are crazy on the base pass. And by the way, that's the other part of this thing. Do we think the Jazz Chisholm really wants to face Garrett Crochet? That's part one. Part two, he's the king of the game is pressurized, and there's so much on the line, and I'm going to make a terrible base running decision just because I feel like I want to steal a bag here. So it's a really interesting question. I do think if they lose in the first round, that it, not only is it going to be a big conversation, I think this might be kind of a tipping point here.
How was the Red Sox fan turnout there in Yankee Stadium? Because another reason to listen to you and Lou and Middlebrooks is the TV broadcast was a mess for a variety of reasons. Like, the sound was
yeah,
off.
It was coming so back bad, late Will. From break, so bad, yeah.
Let alone the commentary, which people can take it or leave it. But I was just trying to get a sense. Like, they would show every once in a while, like, Red Sox fans in the crowd or when some big play would happen. But what would you say? We've seen, unfortunately, at Fenway times where, you know, the road team has kind of come in and been pretty loud. What percentage would you say Sox fans there last night?
First of all, there are a lot of reasons to listen to our broadcast.
Right.
Come on.
That's
but
right.
Second of all, I don't know if you guys heard about the ticketing debacle yesterday.
Yep.
So they did this thing where they try to, you know, reverse engineer it. And if you don't have a credit card billing zip code that is in the New York area, you can't buy tickets. Well, I think they had like 6,000 tickets unsold last night. So, you know, it's the ultimate overthink. And isn't that a beautiful thing? It was hilarious. We left the ballpark and we took the train home because it's impossible to get an Uber. And if you sit there in traffic, it can be like 90 minutes from the Bronx to downtown Manhattan. And I wouldn't say there were a lot of Red Sox fans there last night. You can hear them in certain spots, the big strikeouts from Crochet and Chapman. However, those that were there, we could hear after the game. You know, I mean, it was people, I couldn't believe these, I mean, I've got young kids now, and I was just thinking to myself, they're like these 22-year-old kids in Red Sox jerseys playing dirty water on the train back into New York. And I'm thinking, my God, like, I'm going to sit my 7-year-old down when I get home and be like, buddy, let's here's a life lesson. You know, when you're outnumbered 700-1, yeah, let's take it easy.
Very cool.
On the train and leaving the stadium. But they were certainly, and that's the other thing, guys. It was so beautiful to be in that place and shut it up. I mean, there's just no better feeling. And I being here reminds me of what's going on, and I'm sure you guys are seeing all the clips of all the, you know, everybody now, like, it's such a weird world. I mean, look, I love Hogdale in the same way you guys do. I'm going to see him tonight after the game, by the way.
Nice.
Big break. But it's amazing how it's like this cottage industry that everybody in the world, like, watches these games with a phone or a computer, watching them watch them and scream. And so you guys have seen all these Yankee fans melt down.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that's an awesome, hilarious thing in and of itself. But it does happen in their ballpark, too. And if you think about their fan base, like, what their mindset is going into tonight and going into the future, like, first of all,
they're crapping a brick, Will.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They
are. It's crazy.
And it's at the Red Sox expense, too. Like, I've talked to Yankee people now for 10 months that have said, we do not want you in the playoffs. And I think their fans think that, too. It's palpable in the ballpark. So they are on edge, that's for sure.
Okay. Will Fleming, excellent call last night. Check him out tonight for Game 2 with Lou and Brooksy. Hopefully no Game 3. No offense, Will.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can move on to Toronto over the weekend.
Yeah.
We're good. I've mandated that Lou is going to eat his bacon again this morning, and we're gonna do all the right things. All the things we can control, we will.
Okay, tell him to crisp that bacon up. Yeah. I heard it was a little floppy this morning, but Will, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
my
Will.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
All right, yeah. Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox. Check him out at Will Fleming on Twitter.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.